Welcome, everybody, to Mining Stock Daily with another corporate update here today. Before we get into my discussion with Mr. Mark Ashcroft at Aurelius Minerals, let's just take a quick look at the board, and it is absolutely atrocious out there. The big board's green to red from the S&P down to the NASDAQ. The dollar's up, and it is just wreaking havoc on precious metals. Gold is down over 2% now. Futures basis, $1,792. Silver, well below that $23 mark to $22.65. That's down almost 5% on the day. My portfolio is deep in the red. Boy, it's terrible. I will provide a little bit of silver lining to it all. Pull back the chart. The monthly gold chart is still intact, everybody. So you sometimes just got to kind of walk away from the markets and just play it cool. Right, Mark? Play it cool, Mark.
I'm in Toronto. I have three boys that play ice hockey. I'm always cool. Cold, actually.
This is true. All right, Mark. Hey, first of all, we got to get to the latest news out of Aurelius. You put out your first drill results for the year. This has been from the ongoing work at the Aureus East Gold Project. I believe this kind of wraps up, was it the phase two program, huh?
Yeah, we still actually have six holes and about 720 meters of samples left in the labs, and that will finish up that phase two drilling. So we did, between phase one and two, almost 21,000 meters, plus we found some historical core that we were able to assay. So, I mean, we've done the equivalent of about 22,000 meters of drilling, and that's all aimed for a updated 43-101 resource on the east, because at the end of this quarter. So looking forward to it.
That's gonna be a big report. That's a big catalyst for this company potentially, huh?
I hope we release it on a day where gold is up and the market goes green. That'll certainly help, because you know, in days like today, it doesn't matter what you're doing. But yeah, you know, we have a historical resource. It's about 150,000 ounces between indicated and inferred that we didn't, you know, we didn't make current because we didn't love the sort of model, if you will, and we've been right. We've certainly demonstrated and proven that ourselves. I sort of describe this as, we're not infill drilling an old mine. We're doing discovery drilling, because as we put these holes into the ground, we're finding gold where no one expected us to find it, whether it be in the sediments or the high-grade contact, you know, between the quartz and the sediment. And we're just finding more. I mean, 49 drill holes, two wedges, and everything's hit mineralization thus far. That's
you're still batting 100%. Yeah, wow, that's really impressive. But you know, the one thing that we're continuing to see out of these drill results is the same continuity with these limbs. I mean, you know exactly where these things are. You know where to drill them. So you are redefining the geology and reinterpreting everything. So this is really encouraging here.
You know, it's quite funny. When we started this exercise, you know, 16, 17 months ago, you know, we were trying to avoid the limbs. We were targeting the hinges. And now we've come full circle. Now we target the limbs expressly from our drilling, the surface drilling in particular, where we're drilling from the south.
So how about the hinges? Anything new with the hinges?
So the hinges, we typically see the hinges when we're from our underground drill holes. So the ones we did this week were just, that was just from surface drilling. So typically we get to see more of the hinges because we're positioned underground and we're literally on top of the system. Whereas the surface drilling, you know, when we're further to the east, we were drilling down on some of the hinges, but by moving to the south of the deposit and drilling across, we're aiming and we're targeting the limbs. And you're right. You know, I call it the barcode. We've gone into the microstratigraphy, so we know each little layer. So when we see, you know, rocks coming up, we know, all right, we're coming into limb 7, for instance. Oh, there's limb 9. And that's really a testament to the quality of the technical team. They really are very good.
So we're getting close to, well, we're getting the last results from phase two here momentarily. So this is basically a wrap. You did mention that the near-term focus has shifted to underground channel sampling and the mapping program here at Aureus East. Kind of give us a rundown of how this last phase two drill program has helped the geologists interpret where they will continue that early exploration work in hopes of expanding mineralization.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're very unique in the sense that, you know, where else can you, you know, put a drill hole through the ground, pull up, you know, and look at the drill core, and then find a comparable, you know, in the logs, and then literally go and walk to that location, and so you can literally compare the core that was pulled out of the ground with the actual in situ location, and just, you know, be there in the center of it. So what we're able to do is, and that's what the channel sampling is. So, okay, we had these, you know, we had these core, we had these assays. Well, every 2 meters, let's go along. We've got these exposed limbs and hinges. Let's take a, you know, a channel saw, like you'd use to cut core, concrete, but with a stronger, blade, and you excavate this material and you find out how that continuity is going along these limbs, and it really helps you with your confidence.
All right. How does planning for a next round of drilling look like? Are we're not really at that stage yet? You're waiting for these samples to kind of get done and get those results returned before you kind of set the next stage up for drilling?
So our programs are planned. Our programs are planned. You know, the geologists could, I call it a modular sort of exploration approach, in the sense that if we want to do a 10 or 15,000 meter program, we can do that. We've got probably up to 100,000 meters planned, but that expands significantly beyond, you know, the core area of the historical excavation, because we start heading out to the east to really expand it. So, but no, I'll be very blunt. At the end of last year, Omicron was coming. My boys and I had the COVID in September, but my wife caught it just before Christmas. Fortunately, she was, you know, she was boosted and vaccinated, so minimal impact on her. But we still had to, you know, isolate for 10 days. And I had a really bad feeling for how 2022 was going to start off with respect to the workforce being able to come to work. And so what we did is we pivoted and shifted, and we said, you know what, we're going to have our own employees, which are effectively a fixed cost, if you will. Let's utilize them and get all the things we wanted to get done that don't get done when you're doing a drill campaign, because, you know, there's all those moving parts. And so, you know, ideally we'll look to, I think this wave should be through by mid to late February, and by March we'll see some normalcy. And so, yeah, then we'll look to, look to target the drill programs commencing in, at the end of the first quarter, around the time of the resource, or maybe even the beginning of the second. And, mm-hmm. we'll access the, you know, access the treasury markets, to do that.
All right. This brings up a pretty interesting point, and maybe it kind of shifts discussion here, Mark, but I mean, you've been involved in the mining industry your entire life. In fact, multiple generations of your family have, you know, with the pandemic, I have, you know, we've heard a couple stories of projects, communities literally asking companies not to come back to work during this Omicron stage, because to kind of fight the spread of the virus. You know, do you think some of those stories are kind of behind us now, or do you see this continuing to maybe happen, where communities are saying, please do not bring your teams back into these exploration projects because we need to get things under control?
Well, I think that there are a lot of people who are still scared, and I don't think that the communication on this topic has been spectacular. I think it has been generally a bit of a failure. I think people are very nervous in some locations. I think in in more urban areas, they may not be as bad. But even that, I was just at the barber, and you know, we were talking about how people are still scared. And my butcher shop was saying, I've got employees that don't want to come to work because they're scared to see the general public. So I do think that's a legitimate concern. From our perspective, we're very fortunate is that everybody in our projects are local. So I don't make a habit of visiting if I don't need to, just because I want to respect people's concerns. But even at that, you know, we'll do the rapid tests and visit. And we have very significant social distancing mandates and the mask wearing when we have people that aren't in those core groups. But from our perspective, we're very fortunate in that our 17 employees on the ground are local. So there's no issue with them being there. But, you know, we have seen, particularly people that are fly in, fly out, you're certainly seeing some, you know, please stay away for the time being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, but I do agree with you. I think it is getting as close to being behind us as it can be.
It certainly feels like it, at least maybe that's more optimistic than realistic, but it certainly feels like it's getting behind us. Okay, let's get back to the topic at hand. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with here, Mark, for people in this space? I know it's a crummy day to talk about precious metals and precious metals explorers, but the work doesn't stop, right? Just because there's a bad day in the market doesn't mean your people don't go to work. There's work to be done. There's gold to explore for. There's a project to expand. So what do you want people to know as we kind of wrap up the first month of the year?
Yeah, I think that's the key. I mean, we have to continue to add value. You have to continue the messaging. And, you know, if we were to stop and start with the markets, nothing would ever get done. So, yeah, you know, our teams are there, you know, each and every day creating value. And I think eventually that when these things shift and it's recognized, it'll be a significant shift. So got to keep the hard work going. And, you know, my shoulders and I'll use the Canadian analogy because we're in the snowy cold up here. But my, you know, the car is not moving very fast down the road in the deep snow, but my shoulders against the back bumper and I'm pushing it free. So that's what we're doing, man.
All right, Mark, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. It's been too long, so I'm glad you and the family are healthy and we can get back to work.
That's what we're doing, Trevor. Always working.
All right. Mark Ashcroft from Aurelius Minerals, everybody. Trading on the TSX Venture with AUL and also on the OTCQB with AURQF. I am a shareholder of the company, and Aurelius is also a sponsor of the podcast. That's going to wrap up today. Actually, we'll be back tomorrow morning with the long form interview with our friend Jesse Felder, talking all things markets in this very interesting week. All right, everybody, have a great evening. Talk to you tomorrow morning. Be well. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.